Greetings, Flesh Wound Horror Freaks, and welcome to a brand new episode of Flesh Wound Horror, Euro Cult Edition. I am Daniel Shine, and I am joined by producer Todd Loya.
What's up? How you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm actually excited to talk about tonight's show because I'm a lover of Euro sleaze, and we have some particularly sleazy Euro horror films tonight. We're going to get right into it. So I should say all of these are on Blu-ray from Severin, and we are reviewing the Blu-ray presentations of the film. And we're going to kick it right off with our first movie, which is a 1975 film from director Denis Héroux. And in this one, Montreal filmmaker Denis Héroux, the future director of The Uncanny, an Oscar-nominated producer of Atlantic City, adapted the true story of Chicago mass murderer Richard Speck to war-torn Belfast, where a disturbed Vietnam vet drifter brutalizes a dorm full of student nurses. All right. So this film is really unique in that it ties in three horrific historical incidents with Vietnam, the troubles in Northern Ireland, and of course also the Richard Speck murders. I should throw out, first of all, they do change the character's name. He is Kane Adamson, so it's not literally a Richard Speck movie.
The best way to think about it is like deranged. He's not Ed Gein. I can't think of his name.
Well, he was in Home Alone.
I always tell people that Home Alone is a direct sequel to The Deranged, because it so is.
Same guy.
Yep.
Kevin was just lucky that, How good of an ending would that have been if Kevin came home and his like whole family is just in pieces?
In the salt.
The uncle's a fucking lampshade. And well, anyways, not to make light of these horrible crimes, because we're classy and we don't do those sorts of things. Back to the film. So very, very unique. I mean, you've got... it stands out there with some of the great post-Vietnam horror films like Death Dream, which is a fantastic film that everybody should see. And it has that going for it. Matthew Carrier, who plays Kane Adamson, very memorable performance. Now, he's not... Richard Speck was not exactly what I think... most would consider a ladies' man. He was a bit of a train wreck. They cast somebody here that, you know, could fool women, I think, a little bit more. Better looking dude than
a little more Bundy-ish.
Speck. Yeah, a little more Bundy-ish than Speck. And I didn't have an issue with that. I thought he was absolutely fantastic. He was just chilling. And at times, the way this movie goes, I mean, even a little more sympathetic, as disturbing as that seems. They portrayed him more as a sympathetic monster, I guess I would just put it that way. And there's just so much going on in this. Again, I can't think of anything else that ties together that many things into a grimy little exploitation movie. And this has a unique history, shot with an international crew, had very limited distribution, very few people are seeing it until now. Was shot, exteriors were shot in Belfast and Dublin, so it's kind of an Irish film, but then there were interiors shot in West Germany. There's just so much going on here, and it's so authentic that at one point when the character of Kane is being asked for his papers that was an actual guy who stopped the crew to ask for their papers. They just pulled him. And there were certain things. I mean, you could tell probably not the safest to shoot. And there's some legit footage of a Dublin that no longer exists, you know, buildings that no longer exist. Many of you might be familiar with the alternate title, Naked Massacre. This is one of those films that I had it at one point, and it was a beyond crappy, like third generation VHS sort of situation. And I don't even think I really finished it. I got it way back in the day and it just was almost unwatchable. So kudos for Severin for putting this out. Because again, it wasn't sold at many locations when it was at Cannes because censorship, and you can imagine trying to get this to play in Ireland would have been tough at the time. So as it is, though, it gets pretty ugly. There's, you know, what Speck did to the nurses, and this doesn't shy away from that. I would say, though, that this is not just a cheap, grimy exploitation movie. The acting, on even with the dubbing and the international cast and all of that, I think that this is a higher level exploitation film that is just perfect. And so much of the stuff in here is kind of true. The tattoo scene at the very end, which some might find the ending a little anticlimactic in a way, but I really loved it. I really think it made sense to the story. And of course, Born to Raise Hell was the tattoo that Speck had. And same thing, Speck tried to kill himself. Didn't work, obviously. This was before that infamous video leaked of Speck in jail with the fake breasts. If you haven't seen that video, it's really disturbing. So I think that came out in like the late 80s and caused quite a stir because it's like, well, this is supposed to be prison. What the hell's going on with this guy? And
he was very popular.
He was, yeah. He found a way to survive, for sure. He what's kind of ironic, though, for such a woman hater, he kind of sacrificed his manhood to survive in prison. So, I mean, in a certain way, I actually think he probably suffered more than anything. And you look at the Speck case, too. I mean, he had like 41 arrests at a young age, and his mom kept bailing him out. And there were just so many warning signs. This guy was destined to be a serial killer. It's just insane what went on. But what did you think of this one, Todd? I loved it. I was so glad that this is put out in a proper way.
Yeah, I'm with you 100% on this one. I also, I made it through my third generation bootleg. I don't even know what it was. It was probably fourth or fifth, honestly. I was used to it back in the day. It didn't bother me. So seeing it was like a whole new thing. It's always such a difference when you finally get to retire one of those old boots of a multi-generation tape and finally get to see it like this one. And I know this one, they discovered the 35 millimeter print in the National Archives in Canada. So if it wasn't for that, we wouldn't have this. I definitely was a big fan of this.
Yeah, it was a time too where there were so many tax shelter movies going on, a lot of Canadian, European co-productions, that movies that I don't think you ever would have normally have seen. There were so many. Who, the Elliot Gould, I think it was cyborg robot movie, and a lot of really oddball films. Some of them are quite, if not good, certainly interesting and not standard for the time. And Yeah, I really highly recommend this one to, it's particularly to true crime fans. And there's a lot of extras on this too, not just about the movie, but also to do a spec that you will want to check out. So, yeah. And obviously there's, you know, about the crime, so I don't need to warn people about certain things in here, but, this isn't like,
they may not everyone, you know, knows, you know, all this stuff.
Yeah, there's some demeaning stuff with the nurses, and but this one, you know, it still kind of has a bit of a gut punch though to it too. It doesn't just become a TNA sort of thing. I mean, it all makes sense to the story, and there's just that sort of 70s sadness to go along with the grime too. So I don't know. I really loved it. So we'll go ahead and rate it. I'm pretty high. I am a 4.5. I really like this movie. How about you, Todd?
I'm not too far off. I give it a 4.
Cool.
Definitely worth watching.
Absolutely. So yeah, guys, check it out. If you saw it under Naked Massacre, you haven't really truly experienced it yet. So, all right. So moving on, because we are a classy, classy show, we're going to review a classy, classy movie. And that is the 1972 film from director Leopoldo Savona. And that is Byleth, the Demon of Incest. And in this one, in one of the most bizarre Eurosleaze sickies of the 70s, Mark Damon delivers an atypically unhinged performance as a duke consumed by his unnatural lust for his beautiful sister. Toss in depraved dollops of sex, voyeurism, and demonic possession, and Giallo-style violence, and you get the sumptuous yet insane rarity, Byleth, the Demon of Incest. So a title like that's certainly going to get your attention. It's kind of like it predicted modern day Pornhub in a way. I don't know what's going on there sometimes with that brother sister theme. But
from a guy who loves Taboo, though, just remember that.
Hey, Taboo's a fun movie.
It's stepsister. Taboo straight up. There's a difference.
Yeah, Taboo.
Stepsister, yeah. Stepmother. They don't go full Taboo and straight. Yeah.
Yeah, that one should just have the tagline, everybody screws. But yeah, and that's also on Blu-ray from Vinegar Syndrome. So if you really want to dive all
three,
into
the first three or first four, I can't remember.
I have to double check. I think it's first three.
Yeah, I do too.
There's like 30 of those at this point, but yeah. So Byleth, we got Mark Damon, who of course is an absolute icon of Euro horror. I mean, the man has been in, you name it. He's just a legend. And this is one of his more obscure films because, I hadn't even seen this one. It's a movie I've been aware of for a long time, but this one really is borderline lost, or was borderline lost.
Real quick, just so it's out there, I was correct. There is four Taboos from Vinegar Syndrome.
Four from, okay. Yeah,
I thought four, so I just wanted, I double checked, so sorry.
Yeah, and those are XXX, just so people are aware, but nonetheless highly recommended. Golden age classics. And yeah, Mark Damon, Black Sabbath. I mean, good God, the guy's an icon. He was even in Monster, which I thought was cool later on with Charlize Theron. So, all right. So this one is it's not a great film. I'm not gonna lie. It feels like a more kinky than normal Hammer film. There's certainly a lot more nudity in this. and very welcomed. Claudia Gravy is gorgeous, is Barbara, the sister that they were Duke Leonello and her husband Giordano were fighting over. It never really there's not that proper horror mood to this one, so it was okay because it did still function fairly well as a sexploitation film, although the presence of Mark Damon kind of elevated it a little bit more above that. But nonetheless, I mean, it's still a beautiful film to look at.
You're being nice. I could feel it.
Being nice? No, I still enjoyed it. I don't think the majority of people are going to necessarily. Plus, the title, as sleazy as it is, that kind of implies
that much, hurt it much for me more. A lot. That hurt really? For me a lot. I was expecting a super sleazy movie. Mm-hmm. I know it's our sleazy episode. I end up just really, really underwhelmed with it.
The giallo elements, because I mean, it is kind of like a weird, like part demonic possession, giallo, and then
I don't know, the elements didn't mix together.
Yeah,
and then overall, it was a miss for me. It didn't work. I mean, you mentioned the cast, you mentioned it looks great, but the fact that it just didn't deliver, I can't really recommend this one, unfortunately.
Yeah, this one tries to do a lot, and I think it might let down a lot of people looking for those specific things. I can't recommend it as a great demonic possession film. I can't, it does deliver enough to work. I mean, like I said, there's some beautiful European ladies sans their clothes. So it does deliver there. But as a whole, I wouldn't recommend it to a shallow fan. And again, I hadn't seen this, and that's fairly rare. And I think in my head, I had higher expectations for what this was going to be. And didn't quite get there. And part of that also could be the director was known for spaghetti westerns, Apocalypse Joe, Pistol Packin' Preacher, which might be one of my favorite spaghetti western titles. I can't really remember the film, but unfortunately, but I, at the end of the day, this was just discovered not long ago in a lab in Madrid. I am happy to see this restored and it's not lost to time forever, because Mark Damon is an absolute legend. Not his finest film by any stretch of the imagination, but check out the Mario Bava work. Also nothing on the extras front on this one at all, which is strange. I would have liked to have had even more background on this film since it is so rare. I would have liked to have seen a film scholar type commentary or something in that along that lines. So, all right, I'll go ahead and rate this one now. I still give it a 2.5 for me because it delivers just enough on the sexploitation front. But you're kind of just watching for the eye candy in this one. There's not a whole lot else to it. What say you, Todd?
I can't give it any more than a 2 because it is, it's below average. So,
yeah. Yeah. I know that I'll like this one more than many of you, but I do recognize it's kind of a mess. And
I didn't hate it, but it's just, it didn't work. I mean, as just a movie for everything, it doesn't do most things right, unfortunately.
Yeah. Claudia Gravy, though. No. Name we don't talk about a lot, but yeah, she was easy on the eyes and pleasant to look at. All right, so let's move on to our next film of the evening, which is excuse me, from 1986 and director Pierre B. Reinhard, and from the back cover. In 1987, Parisian pornographers Pierre Reinhard and Jean-Claude Roy deviated from their usual high-end skin fare to create Revenge of the Living Dead Girls that remains the most extreme French gore film in history. Not true, but okay. When a trio of vixens is killed by corporate tainted milk, their nubile corpses will rise from the grave. All right. This one, a little bit of backstory on it. The initial DVD release from Retro Media, the image disc, it claimed to be uncut. It was not. So it was always like a pretty disappointing release. There was a previous region-free Blu-ray from Wicked Vision on this one that was uncut. So
it was the same thing, and I believe it had both the versions also.
Yeah, yeah. It was really, the DVD I remember was really kind of disappointing.
A lot of those Retro Media ones from that era were, so it's like some of the old Troma discs in that era too. They were all just, you know, they weren't the best.
this is true. Troma was very early in the DVD game as well. So Revenge of the Living Dead Girls, this one, what a storyline. We have this opening up with the trucker picking up this injured hooker who he takes and immediately has sex with. Like, it's just like, oh, of course they're gonna just have sex. And during this, we get a biker who sneaks to his truck and pours chemicals to taint the milk for revenge over bad publicity. Girls die. There's a lot of double crosses and everybody bangs. I think I summed it up pretty well. So is this a good movie? Traditionally speaking, no.
Not really.
But I have a blast. I love this movie. It's a lot of fun. I'll tag you in first because I think this might be your favorite of the night. I'm assuming, and I could be wrong, but
it's close. This does what the last one didn't do right. Like, I say movie wise, they're probably about the same, but this one is so much fun, where the other one didn't have that element that this one does that keeps the whole movie fun, even if it's not the greatest movie. This one's fun the whole time. I mean, you know, from the opening scene, I was going to be a fan. So it is one that it's nice to finally see uncut. I'm glad Severn did it. And Yeah, you're right. This is my favorite of the bunch. What about you, Dan?
Did you appreciate the, I call it porn logic, where the girl's like chewing the guy out over his responsibility with the milk being canceled? And then they immediately just like fuck on the car outside in public. I was just like, you can tell that this film comes from pornographers, and I mean that again in the best possible way, because I think this movie's really entertaining. Tons of nudity, beautiful looking girls. Not to objectify, but hey, we're reviewing exploitation films tonight, so hey, that's what everybody's would be looking for in this. But also balancing the gore fairly well too. There's some cheap but effective gore. We get the high heel and the eyeball, taking a page out of the Italians' playbook. And it's a good bad movie. It really is. And if you haven't seen it uncut, it's probably worth a rewatch. Dicks are bit off. We get zombies that are zombies facially and with their arms, but then have perfect bodies. And there's a shower scene that's perfectly illustrates the gore meets nudity and sleaze quotient. There's a twist to this too that you might not expect. The whole thing here is just pure lunacy and
batshit crazy, and yeah, the best way possible.
Yeah, absolutely. This movie makes me happy. I don't know. This is like one that I'll sit down to watch. And now I will say this, not the first French gore movie. That's ridiculous. But we don't talk about French horror that often from this particular period. And I did want to highlight, because truth be told, these are much better made French zombie films. And I wanted to just throw it out there for people that might be interested in dipping their toes in the French zombie genre. And it all goes with Jean Rollin. And Living Dead Girl is an excellent film. Very different tone. Jean Rollin is very much in more art house style, and he's a fantastic filmmaker. Another one.
So these aren't going to be for everyone either.
Won't be for everyone either, but they are better made films without a shadow of a doubt. Grapes of Death, one that I really love. Redemption put the Blu-ray out, also from Roland. And this one you should definitely watch, because nobody talks about these two. So these are different weight class, in my opinion, but as it stands, what can I say? I really do have a lot of fun with the Revenge of the Living Dead Girls, and hopefully you will as well. Depending on who you are as a person, and I am obviously a big sleazy dork, so I liked it. So let's go ahead and rate Revenge of the Living Dead Girls. Again, I remind everybody, we rate these films a little bit different. So if the rating seems high, I'm not putting this in, again, the weight class of a masterpiece like an Exorcist or Eyes Without a Face or anything like that. This is, for me, a lot of fun, and I am going to give it a 4. You can smack me for that if you want, but I just have a great time.
Because I got a 4 down too. So I'm not, I can't even be mad at you. So
Yeah, check it out. Like I said, it is what it is. And if you are into that, you'll have a good time. All right. So moving on to we're going at a good pace tonight. Our final film of the evening, which is also the oldest film, and that is Castle of the Creeping Flesh from 1968. And director Adrian Hoven, who, of course, was known for the infamous Mark of the Devil. And in this one, this Eurosleeves masterpiece, packed with crimmy depravity, Mondo-style shocks, and graphic gothic insanity, when a group of bourgeois swingers stumble upon a creepy castle of the cursed Earl of Saxon, they'll discover an unholy nightmare of sexual violence, bombastic philosophy, deranged performances, and grisly medical experiments. All right, and as well as one very pissed off bear, which I'm sure we'll be talking about the bear. So this is very early in the Eurosleaze days, 1968. You know, it's kind of getting into that turnover period where you started to get a lot more in terms of sex and violence, and so this one's kind of somewhat of the father of that in a way. It's not the first, again, but it is among that first wave. And a little bit of background on this. It really follows a theme that was a staple in 60s horror, 60s Euro horror in particular, with kind of the mad doctor element. And it's ironic because Howard Vernon was no stranger to that, who plays Saxton in this one. He is very well known for his Jess Franco films, particularly his early more serious horror films, and he played Dr. Orloff. Look into that. As everybody knows, I'm a big Jess Franco fan, so I always sing the praises of Jess Franco. And there's a lot of regulars from the Franco films. Howard Vernon was in a ton. Janine Reynaud was, of course, probably most known for Succubus, which is also one of the more well thought of Jess Franco titles before things start to get a little more into the sexploitation realm and for a lot of people in the grindhouse realm. Michael Lemoyne, again, also a Franco regular. So there's a lot here of interest if you're into that. So certainly delivers everything that you could want out of a sexploitation feature. Way more graphic than you'd expect for the time, with the on the gore front and the sex front. And we, you know, we get Elagos, essentially their Igor in this. That character was a lot of fun. It's not a great film. I'm not going to lie to you. It really isn't. If nothing else, these are always amazing to look at, the castle location and all of that. I had seen this before. Watching it now ranks a little lower for me. But I still, the legit open heart surgery that they keep going back to goes on way too long, that you could almost play a drinking game out of it. I laughed my fucking ass off. I didn't remember how shitty the dude in the bear costume was. It was like sub Chuck E. Cheese level. That had me rolling. Again, I guess I just forgot. Maybe the version I saw before was not so hot, and I didn't notice how shitty it was. Did not do it any favors on Blu-ray. There's a couple moments of unintentional humor, though, too. I don't have the exact quote, but at one point during a flashback, we hear the line, "Let's copulate, I lack soldiers." It made me laugh. And the music, too. The music was very off. We get like this Scooby-Doo type music when it's supposed to be suspenseful. It's not great. It's not great. Again, I enjoyed it on some level. I feel like most people are not going to so much. But I don't know, Todd, where are you at on Castle of the Creeping Flesh?
I'm kind of in the middle. Like, there's fun to be had, but I don't think it's one I'm going to be revisiting, unfortunately. And I've seen it before. It's been years and years. I barely remember that. You mentioned the bears. So that was hysterical. But yeah, it was kind of, it has all the elements, but it's another one. It just didn't work for me.
Yeah, I think
it's worth a watch if you like sleaze and exploitation. But I don't think this is going to be on any top 10 lists. If yeah, I'm wrong, tell me.
For a lot of people, I think you're going to be thinking like, man, there's a lot of better gothic horror films I could watch for that. And there's better sexploitation films that I could watch for that. I will say again, though, because her name's not thrown out there a lot, Janine Reynaud, jaw-droppingly beautiful, just amazingly so. There's plenty of eye candy here. I didn't hate this film. I just can't like call this one like an underseen classic or anything, because it's just not. I give this one 2.5. For a lot of you, though, I wouldn't recommend a purchase for this unless you're just like me and eat this stuff up. What say you, Todd?
I went back and forth on this one, being a 2 and a 2.5. But because I had enough fun with it, like I said, it's one I don't think I'm going to go back to often, if at all. I'm gonna go with 2.5, because there is fun to be had. This is one, if you have a bunch of friends over, some beers, it'll be a good time. So yeah, there is that.
Yeah, so recapping it for me, Born for Hell and Revenge of the Living Dead Girls are must pickups. And I'm not sorry that I own the other two. I just don't know if I'd recommend them. Unless you're seasoned in these sorts of films. Yeah,
I'm with you on that. I don't know what else we have to. I know we should have soon a Severn post nuke show.
Yes.
Our first post nuke in a while.
Ooh, I'm so excited to dive into those.
Yeah, we'll have that sooner than later.
Yeah.
I don't know, Dan, do we got anything to plug before we get out of here?
Patreon.com/fleshwoundfeatures for early and uncensored exclusive content. That all starts at $1. I want to say thank you to our new patrons, Indie Phantom. I know was our most recent one. So thank you, sir, for joining the Patreon. That really helps us out. And thank you
all our patrons.
All of you, yes, we do very much appreciate it and try and earn that money. Also, fleshwoundfeatures.com has all our links. Be sure to like, share, subscribe, comment on these videos, even if you think, hey, Dan's full of crap. How does he like this French zombie boob flick? You can tell me I'm full of crap.
I think that you already answered the question. If they know you, they know how.
Well. They might be tuning in for the first time. So you can vent on us too in the comments. That's all good. Horror Cartel, Flesh Wound Radio Facebook group. On Twitter, we're Flesh Wound Radio. So be sure to follow that. And Discord, Twitch.
Check out our Sleepaway Camp show this Wednesday.
Yes, Sleepaway Camp. Check that out as well. We got a lot of shows up right now. So if you missed it, go back. And that's all I've got, guys. So until next time, good night.
I'll shine.